You are Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. Fantasy football all day, every day.
What is up? Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. It is Wednesday, October 24th. Willie and Debro here from Fantasy Football 24/7. You can find me on Twitter at WillieFF247. Hit up Derek at Debro underscore FFB and find us on the main page at FFB underscore 247. On today's show, we will talk some Week 8 fantasy games. We're going to discuss some guys we are targeting DFS. And then, man, we are going to hit that trade market. Derek, what's going on, bro?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad Week 8 is here, baby, because Week 7 sucked.
It really did suck, dude. It sucked. But, hey, we're on to a new week. Let's pick up them Ws, man. Let's dive in. Before we do, do not forget to get in there to win that signed Earl Campbell Hall of Fame Edition jersey this year. All you have to do to enter to win is rate and review us on iTunes. Be sure to leave your Twitter handle or your email in your review so we can get a hold of you if you are the lucky winner. So let's dive in. Let's start with fantasy games of the week, man. Let's start there. Talk to me about a game circled on your calendar for Week 8 that you're pumped because of the fantasy implications.
Man, the game that I cannot shy away from, and it is a revisiting of the fantasy fireworks, and that is Saints at Vikings. It is just going to be amazing this week. For the QBs in this one, you have Cousins stepping into this as the QB6 on the year. Breeze is at the QB8. So two top 10 quarterbacks are getting ready to duke it out in this one. And man, this sets up with both of these defenses too. This sets up as a pass-heavy matchup because both of these run defenses, when I get to the running backs, I'll dive into that. But both these run defenses are stout, dude. With Cousins, this guy has been money for most of the year. He is taking on a New Orleans pass defense that is giving up the fifth most passing yards allowed, as well as passing touchdowns. And I understand they've been better in recent weeks, but, dude, they are still allowing the fourth most points to fantasy quarterbacks on the season. Over to Breeze, I understand the Vikings have a great name for themselves for their defense. And if you look at the whole season, yeah, okay, fine. Their defensive metrics are, they're great and grand, blah, blah, blah. But you take out the last 2 weeks when they just absolutely dismantled and destroyed two rookie quarterbacks and Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, rewind the tape a little bit and look at the times when they faced two legitimate quarterbacks and passing offenses to the level of the New Orleans Saints. And you had Carson Wentz just demolish the Vikings for 311 and two touchdowns. And Jared Goff went full on legend at 465 and five touchdowns. Oh my gosh. So I understand it looks like a tough matchup on paper, but it's not quite as stout as you think. On to the running backs. Latavius Murray is going to be, it's uphill sledding, man. I understand this guy over the last 2 weeks, him in the starter's chair, he's had 21 touches a game. Those 2 weeks, the dude's been RB7, but versus this New Orleans run defense, who is only allowing, they are first in the league, allowing only 72.3 yards per game. If you look at the entire season, this is not just like, okay, up and down weeks here and there. Some guys have done well. Nobody has done anything versus this run defense. They have not allowed more than 69 yards to a starting running back the entire season. And that was week one versus Peyton Barber. So since then, they have just done nothing but just tightened down the screws. Over to the Saints backfield. Man, Ingram and Kamara are just trading big weeks. I mean, Ingram's first week back, he was RB9, and then he dropped to RB37. It was flip side for Kamara. He was RB41 and then RB16 last week versus the Ravens. It's like looking in the mirror, man. Ingram's averaging 16 touches and 57 yards per game, and Kamara's averaging 14 touches and 57 yards. It's what and what, man. Either one of these guys could go off for a big game weekly. Minnesota has a very tough run defense, allowing only the fifth most yards per game and 89 a game. So I do like Kamara more in this game because I think that versus his involvement in the pass game will be a little bit heavier than Ingram's. So I do think that this is another Kamara week as opposed to Ingram. But look, man, the Saints are always feeding touchdowns to the running back position. So if you got both of them, you're firing them up. On to the wide receivers. This could be a Michael Thomas smash game. We saw Xavier Rhodes leave last week's game with an injury. So right now, if he comes into this game and he's kind of gimped up or he's out of this game, it is Michael Thomas week, baby. He is going to be awesome. Even if Rhodes plays in this one, we saw Michael Thomas just manhandle Rhodes in the playoffs last year for seven catches, 85 yards, and two touchdowns. All the Michael Thomas for me this week. The only other wide receiver I'd be starting for the Saints would be Tre'Quan Smith, who is he's established himself as the clear number two for the Saints. Last week, I mean, he grossly outsnapped Cameron Meredith. And I understand the stat line was not huge, but look, he's going to be matched up against Trey Wayans this week, who is the number 202 ranked quarterback in the NFL. As far as the Vikings wide receivers, dude, I don't have to tell you too much about Adam Thielen. The guy's the number one wide receiver in PPR right now. The next closest guy to him is 14 points behind him. This guy has had 10 targets, 6 receptions, 102 yards in every single game, crossing the century mark in every game he's played this year. There's nothing to tell you to start Thielen besides all you have to do is have a pulse and be alive because he's got to be in your lineups. Stephon Diggs, I understand that, look, a lot of people are down on him right now. I'm still firing him up. He destroyed the Saints last year, and I will not be surprised. I understand Thielen is going to be in the slot for most of this game. I will not be surprised at all if they put Lattimore on Thielen in this one and take their chances. The Saints just traded for Eli Apple. I don't know if it's going to be Crawley or Eli Apple on Stephon Diggs in this one. Hell, they could just play it. You know, put Crawley on him. Crawley sucks and stick Apple on him because I will not be surprised if Lattimore shadows Thielen into the slot. So fire up Diggs, fire up Thielen. Diggs, I don't think people understand that this dude is still a wide receiver one and PPR is the wide receiver 12 right now. On to tight ends, man, this one is not really great. I understand people still love a lot of Kyle Rudolph, but come on, man. The guy is averaging 5 targets, 40 yards a game, and he's got 2 touchdowns. Going against the Saints, who are allowing the third fewest points to fantasy tight ends, it's not a great matchup, and he's not going to see the volume versus, I mean, compared with these two mega wide receivers of the Vikings. As far as Ben Watson in this one, tight end 20 on the year, his stat line is not any prettier. And the Vikings, I get it's a good matchup. They're allowing the fifth most points to fantasy tight ends. But I still think that the other options, Kamara, Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, are all going to get targets above Benjamin Watson in this one. So you can't be firing him up any more than a tight end streamer. Kyle Rudolph, fine. He's going to be a low-end tight end one. I mean, at least you have to slot him as such.
Yeah, based on options, I agree. You have to put him around that area. All right, my game has got to be Packers at the Rams, dude. Aaron Rodgers versus insanely productive Rams offense. Highest over-under point total on the week, and I think rightfully so. Both these offenses rank inside the top 5 in yards per game. For the quarterbacks, the Rams have been, you know, a combination of good against quarterbacks and lucky, in my opinion, in terms of the quarterbacks they've had to play, giving up the fifth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. But just some of the guys they face, man, Derek Carr, Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, C.J. Beathard, no huge names right there. They did give up that monster number 4 QB finish to Kirk Cousins in week 4. Overall, though, it doesn't matter. You're starting Aaron Rodgers, and I expect for him to have a solid game against this Rams defense. On the Rams side, Jared Goff, currently number 8 quarterback in fantasy. Packers are giving up the fifth fewest passing yards per game. With that being said, Goff has had 320 or more passing yards in 4 of his 7 games this year. The thing here, too, is this offense is averaging the third most points per game with 33. So he's a must-start regardless. This offense is just far too productive to sit that quarterback, in my opinion. On to the running backs, I don't need to tell you. It's kind of the same thing you talked about, Adam Thielen, even more so. Todd Gurley, dude, the dude is on pace to break LaDainian Thomas's touchdown record, which really says it all. The dude is just, man, it's phenomenal, dude. If you had the number one pick, you didn't take Gurley. Sorry, man. I feel your pain. I did that in a couple leagues, and
I regretted it. I did it too, and I hate it.
Oh, now you got to live with it, man. We have talked plenty on this podcast about the Green Bay running backs. Look, until Mike McCarthy decides to lean on one of these running backs more heavily instead of basically splitting the workload between Jones and Williams, I'm staying away. I love Aaron Jones as a talent as much as the next guy, but the fact is he's had single-digit carries in three of his four games this season. Rams are giving up the seventh fewest fantasy points to running backs as well. Both Jones, Williams are nothing but risky flex plays, in my opinion, this week. For the wide receivers, these Rams wide receivers, man, they have been amazing. All three of these guys currently rank inside the top 21 in terms of fantasy scoring among wide receivers. Green Bay has also given up the sixth most touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. It's still unclear if Cooper Kupp's going to play this week. Ethan will be on tomorrow with more of an update on that. If not, that's a bigger boost for the other guys, you know, Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks. But if, let's say they all play, I'm starting with all three of these guys with confidence. For the Packers wide receivers, it looks like the Packers receiving core is going to be back to full strength in this one. As we know, Cobb missed three games, Geronimo Allison two games. That bodes really well for Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. I will take Randall Cobb over Allison in this one. We have seen the Rams give up some monster games to slot receivers this season. So I do like Cobb if he suits up. We talked about the Packers. Look, they gave up, like I said, they've given up the sixth most touchdowns to wide receivers. The Rams are tight, exact same amount. That lines up really well for Davante Adams, who we know what he's going to do. He's going to continue to see a healthy target share in the red zone. Only two players have seen more targets in the red zone than Adams on the season. So got to love him as a play this week as well. On to the tight ends. We're not even going to bring up anybody for the Rams because those three wide receivers are the mixed with Todd Gurley are going to get all the volume. There's no tight end there. For the Packers, Jimmy Graham, pretty solid start here. Rams have given up the fifth most yards this season, the 10th most receptions to tight ends. I will say we could see a slight decrease in the volume based on, you know, this wide receiving core possibly being back to full strength, as I mentioned. But when it comes down to it, you probably do not have a better option at the tight end position to not fire up Jimmy Graham. So I'm pumped for this game, man. Aaron Rodgers going up against this team. I mean, if any quarterback's going to do it, not named Showtime Mahomes. I mean, Aaron Rodgers in this one, it should be fun, dude.
I can't believe you used Showtime. Oh, my God. That is not a thing, and it doesn't need to be a thing at all.
I've heard it, dude. It's I've heard a lot of podcasts. They have it as a drop now. It just says Showtime. So we need to get that drop in here, man.
Oh my gosh.
So, all right, man. Before we move on to DFS and talking about making some people some money, let's talk to the people about Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. They help their fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. Offers great prices and easy-to-use purchasing experience. With the podcast code Locked On, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. If they are a first-time customer, go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter promo code Locked On to receive that $20 off orders of $200 or more for new customers. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. All right, brother, let's make some money. We had a couple good calls last week, but I think we can do better than we did. Let's start with your DFS pick and then talk to me about your DFS stack this week.
Oh my gosh, man. So all right, this is a guy that if anybody follows me on Twitter, I have been pumping him hard all week. And that has got to be Raheem Mostert, man. I love some Raheem Mostert. If Breida is out this week, you've got to love him too, man. The matchup is so juicy. Priced at only $3,800 on DraftKings, he gets the best matchup for fantasy running backs in all of the land this week going against the Cardinals, who are allowing the most points to fantasy running backs, 148 rushing yards per game, as well as the most rushing touchdowns per game at 1.7. If Breida is out, hell, even if he's not, the dude is still going to stack at least 12 to probably 15 touches. He plays in both the early downs and the pass game. And for a guy that has been hyper-efficient over the last 2 weeks when he's been given the chance, 23 touches, 165 yards, that is lock button for me all week, man. On to my stack. The stack that I've got to get in here has got to be Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. I know Luck is priced high at QB3 at 6,300, and Hilton is not a hell of a lot cheaper, but take it on the Raiders, who just traded away Amari Cooper and are basically just tossing in the towel on the year. They are 31st in pass DVOA and are giving up on average 9 catches and 77 yards to wide receiver ones. T.Y. Hilton, I'm hoping and expecting a little bit better health, considering that early in the season, before he got banged up, he was averaging 10 targets per game. This is a smash week for T.Y. Hilton and Andrew Luck, who is still number one in pass attempts per game and number two in passing touchdowns. Give me both of those in DFS for the high floor and high ceiling. I mean, I think you could roll both of them out there in cash and GPP this week. What about you, Willie? Who are the guys that are going to make some money this week for everybody in fantasy and help them stack some cash?
Oh, the first guy I'm going with is Robbie Anderson, dude. Only Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, and AJ Green have more air yards over the past 2 weeks than Robbie Anderson. I think that we've talked plenty about air yards and kind of what we look to there, especially for these buy low guys. He's only $4,100. He saw 9 targets in week 7. Jets are going to have to put up some points against the Bears this week. And look, we know it only takes one bomb with this dude. So I'm going to bank on that. No team has allowed more receptions of 40 yards or more than the Bears this season. Absolutely. He is going to be my lotto ticket in some of my tournament lineups this week. Onto my stack. I'm doing it again, man. I've done it a couple times. I'm going with the running back defense stack. I'm going with Lamar Miller and the Houston defense this week. Lamar Miller, $4,700. Texans defense, only $3,100. The Dolphins are giving up the fourth most points to running backs this season. We also just saw the Dolphins get straight slashed by Kerryon Johnson for 158 yards. And I also think this is the Brock Osweiler interception game. You know what I mean? A lot of us thought it was last week. He's down a couple weapons.
Baby. Look, Brocktoberfest.
We just saw this defense destroy the Jaguars and get Blake Bortles benched. I think it's a big game for the Texans defense here. I think that plays right into the hands of Lamar Miller to get a lot of touches in this one if they can jump out early and start controlling this game. So I'm going to be having a lot of exposure to some Lamar Miller and that Texans defense going up against the Brock Lobster, man. All right, dude, let's jump over to the trade market. Let's start with the guys that we are trading for. Like, we've been doing this segment for a couple of weeks now. We love it because we see it every week, man. The values of players just like a roller coaster. So talk to me about a guy that you think is a buy now player.
Man, with Mike McCoy getting the axe and just shipped on out of town, it's time to get some David Johnson in your life, man. For one of the few things, and the phrase is coined just religiously in fantasy, but I'll tell you, that shit is real and it's true, man. Volume is king. And David Johnson, I know the stat lines have not always been sexy. Dude is still toting the ball 18 times a game, averaging 18 touches per game. He is still as bad as this Arizona offense has been. He is still 7th in rushing attempts in the red zone. So with the rest of the season, with McCoy out of the offensive coordinator chair, you have Leftwich in there. That dude has been the quarterback coach since 2017 for Arizona. Under Bruce Arians, he has seen what it takes to get David Johnson in good positions and how the hell you do that. So I do have faith. Not seeing Leftwich call one play, considering he has seen how to properly use this dude in the past, there is no way. We have basically what we've seen so far is David Johnson's floor. And this guy is going to crush it down the stretch. He is the easiest rest of season schedule for running backs, with his opponents averaging 19.3 fantasy points per week given up to the running back position. So if you got to sell your pinky, any type of appendage on your body, do it, man. You need to get some David Johnson up in your life in fantasy.
No, I agree, dude. I actually traded for David Johnson in my seasonal I gave up OBJ for him. Loved every second of that one, man. I agree with you 100%. And just to mention, you mentioned, you know, Bruce Arians showed him how to use him. Let's not forget Mike McCoy just showed him exactly how not to use him and how to get fired. So he's going to do everything.
Just do the opposite, man.
The blueprint has been laid out in front of you, my friend. My guy, you talked about him earlier, dude. Stephon Diggs, you mentioned it. People are down on him. Two average games from Diggs coupled with the Adam Thielen love, which I will say he is warranted, but it makes for a great buying opportunity. And even over the past 2 weeks, Diggs is still seeing a 26% target share, saw the third highest target share amongst wide receivers in week 7. He just didn't do what he usually does with that type of volume. I agree with you. This is a huge Diggs week. On paper, I expect for him to have that. I love him to have a big game. And then that value, we're going to see it, how it happens every week, man. There's these buying opportunities where people get a little bit of doubt. They get antsy. They give up these guys. They have monster games, and then they regret it. So I'm absolutely buying Stephon Diggs here. All right, man. On the flip side, let's talk about people that we are shipping out the door. Who is the first dude that you are trying to unload this week?
Get TJ Yeldon off every team that you have, man. And this is for a lot of different reasons, man. One, he managed to get the touchdown last week. He was even in standard, which we know TJ, the early downs, that's not where that dude makes his money. That's not where he succeeds. He was still RB16 in standard. So the touchdown helped him a lot. You package him. I don't care if you got to do a 2-for-1. You get him off your team. Because in the coming weeks, you have Carlos Hyde arriving to this team. Whether Hyde plays up because he's a better early down runner than TJ Yeldon, or Leonard Fournette comes back and squashes both Hyde and Yeldon's value, his value is going to do nothing but go down from here. And not even factoring in the quarterback situation, the other defensive woes for the Jaguars, which are not going to shorten as many fields as we've seen in the last few weeks. If Kessler is under center, I know people will be like, well, but he gets dump offs. He'll get passes. Not if he's not on the field. Not if Hyde plays more than he does. Not if Fournette plays more than he does. So get rid of TJ Yeldon. The needle is going to drop. And when it drops, it's going to drop fast, man. You got to get him out of there.
Yeah, and if I've had some dude in my league trying to offer me him, if you're buying him right now, I don't know what you're doing. So I agree with you 100%. If you can find the dummy in your league to take him, please do so ASAP. Cool. I got two guys I want to talk about. The first one, obviously, look, Amari Cooper going to the Dallas Cowboys, kind of, you know, with the season that he was having. It's kind of a little bit of mixed. For me, I am going to sell just based on, I believe, a window. And just based on the fact that I think that you could flip him right now with some hype being generated for somebody that you can for sure bank on in terms of more consistency that they've shown you than the factors that you're going to have to overcome with Amari Cooper. Yes, he is automatically the best wide receiver there. Yes, it's a new team, which means it could be a better situation. But for me, it is still a low passing volume offense with a team that has struggled to move the ball at times. And not to mention what we've seen with wide receivers changing teams during the season before. This is, you know, it's a huge change to just pick up your life, move for one. Then you have to, you know, kind of ingrain yourself into this team with the quarterback, with the playbook. It's just so much. And we're already at the halfway point of the fantasy season that I don't want to rely on him overcoming all of those obstacles. And just, you know, I get that he has 2 weeks to kind of get in there and that helps, but still, I think it's going to take more than 2 weeks for him to become a consistent fantasy player. So I think I'm going to try to flip him. And then on the flip side, Marlon Mack. And it wasn't until I saw the hype that this became a sell for me. Although he did have that monster game and he does look like he's going to be able to provide that spark that rushing attack was missing, I just think that this is absolutely the time to sell based on the hype, man. It's insane. I would bet my money that this is his best game of the season just because of how one-sided this game was. And when you look at what they did to the Bills and how much that kind of played into Marlon Mack's touch count and his carry count, I don't think that you can expect that to pan out. I see tons of people just dumping Hines already. I don't think Hines is going to be faded out of this offense. I just think he's done too much. He's too good as a receiver to be completely faded out. And this team isn't going to change overnight because Marlon Mack, you know, this offensive line isn't going to become absolutely great. This defense isn't going to be able to dominate teams like Derek Anderson and the Buffalo Bills, which provided a really positive game script. I just think this is a ceiling play, and I've seen some insane trades kind of happen with Marlon Mack. And for a guy that I don't think is as safe as some of these trades indicate, I'm going to go ahead and sell him this week as well. All right, that's a wrap, dude. Like we said to start, you can find me on Twitter at WillieFF247. Hit up Dbro at Dbro_FFB and check us out during the week on the main page at FFB_247. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Stay tuned for tomorrow's guest show with Dbro. Ethan will also be on to pop off some injury updates leading into the Week 8 weekend. All right, man. We'll catch you next time, Dbro.
Hell yes, for 24/7. We are out.